Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Nick. Nick Sharara in. Sorry, we got started a little bit late, everybody, but we had a little bit technical issue, and now we are fine, and Nick is on the board, and Lance is on his phone, and we are going to do this show socially distanced. Let's put it that way. Lance, what's going on, man?
What's going on, John?
How you doing?
Good, good. Just trying to get our technical stuff worked out, but we'll get it worked out.
Yeah, we'll get this thing fixed, and we'll get this. We got 4 hours ahead of us. Dana Holgorsen is going to join us at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. He's got a game this weekend. We will talk about that. We'll talk about last week's game, and that's brought to you by Damaris. It's brought to you by Chastang Ford and HRMP. So we'll do that a little bit later. Some interesting stuff coming out of Romeo Crennel, Lance, and the Houston Texans yesterday in the press conference. This thing about the tackling has come up, and J.J. was asked about it as well. And J.J., I thought, gave the correct answer. Romeo, not so much. J.J. said, hey, everybody's in the same boat. You got 32 teams. Everybody had the same offseason. You couldn't get together. You couldn't tackle each other. You couldn't practice tackling. Other teams are tackling. We're not tackling. Romeo is blaming the fact that you can't practice tackling on the fact that the Texans can't tackle. I'm with JJ on this one.
I tend to agree. I think we just lost Lance. I tend to agree with you, John. I don't know what else you can do in this situation. You know what I mean?
No, but other teams are in the same situation, and you know they need to pick it up. They need to tackle better. They need a better gap discipline. They need to step up in gaps, put their heads in there, and make plays instead of sliding in, instead of hitting the wrong gaps, instead of taking bad angles, instead of doing all the things that they're doing right now. And these guys are – it's not like, oh, well, this is a bunch of rookies out there. These guys have played football before. All of a sudden, I just forgot how to tackle. Zach Cunningham forgot how to tackle? I don't think so.
I think that's a bad answer. I mean, it's – You're already 5 weeks in. I mean, you're 6 games in. What are you talking about? The tackling issues are issues because you're not properly doing it. It's not, you're not handling technique properly. And to say, well, we haven't had time because, I mean, that's ridiculous. Everybody, like JJ said, everyone's in the same boat. You've all got the same thing you have to do, and the Texans aren't doing it. They're in the wrong places. Guys don't have good instincts to get into run fits. The discipline's off. I mean, you know, Romeo's the guy that you expect to just kind of be real honest about everything because he's in a, I don't care, whatever happens, happens mode. And this is Romeo's chance to be incredibly honest about everything. But whether he's I feel like he's protecting those players a little bit there. But that you can say whatever you want. You should have, like you said, you're pros. You should have your tackling down by now. You should be in position. You should come to balance as a tackler. You should be wrapping up. That should be taken care of by now, but it hasn't been.
Yeah, and watching that last play over and over, and Justin Reed, he pretty much dropped to a knee, put his shoulder into. I mean, you want to talk about a lackluster effort. Justin Reed is supposed to be a guy that's way overplaying his contract right now. And Justin Reed isn't even close to. I think he's living up to a third round, whatever money he's making, $200,000 to $300,000, $400,000 guy right now. That's about what he's living up to. Justin Reed was supposed to be a guy. Now I know he had shoulder problems, and he played last year, and he was heroic and all of that stuff last year. This is a different year, and Justin Reed is not the same guy this year.
No, I thought Justin Reed was at his best as a rookie. I thought last year he started to show some flaws, and this year it's really been disappointing this year. You know, Kansas City found him in coverage. He was on Mecole Hardman. They found him. They attacked him on that one play, and then they got called back. And then who got him? Like on the same play, basically, they got him with Sammy Watkins or was – no, it's DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson against Kansas City. They got him in coverage. Okay, well, that's a safety covering. But the tackling thing has been a pretty consistent issue. He just has not been great in space as a tackler. And, you know, we've defaulted to just saying, well, you've got Justin Reed, of course, who's, you know, core player, he's playing really well, this, that, and the other. We really can't say that anymore right now. Justin, this is his third year, and Justin Reed right now is not playing very good football this year. He just isn't. So we can't just default and talk about how, well, the good players on defense are Zach Cunningham, Justin Reed. You know, we used to do that. Not this year. You can't say the good – right now the good players are like J.J., occasionally P.J. Hall. That's about it. I don't know. I can't come up with anyone else.
Well, I mean, well, Whitney's got three sacks or three and a half sacks.
You know that's not defense.
It's just a joke. It's a joke.
You know what he, you know.
And here's the thing, Lance. It's amazing. It is amazing. How about they're running the ball all over the Texans? It's like they don't even have to throw the ball. And yet the Texans, that's all they have is safeties. Like you said, I mean, how about the Steelers game? Eric Murray is on Juju in the red zone. What? And he picks up Michael Thomas this offseason. He picks up Eric Murray. They move Lonnie Johnson to safety. What cornerback? You don't even have any cornerbacks. Conley has not been available. What corner? You have Hargraves and you have Roby, and that's it. That's pretty much it. So, I mean, it's amazing to me the teams. Well, they've been doing everything against the Texans defense. If you want to know the truth, that really hasn't been an issue. But well, you know what? We can just run the ball. Let's run the ball. But you want to pass? We can do that too. We can do whatever we want. We pretty much can do whatever we want against this defense because they don't have a pass rush. They don't have any cornerbacks, and they can't stop the run. What a combination.
Well, you know, it's Hargraves, it's not like Hargraves is playing well.
No.
Roby's the other guy. I forgot. Roby's, I think, a pretty good, legitimate defensive player. That's every time the Texans make a move on free agency, ever since the last time free agency moves worked in the secondary, it was Daniel Manning for a relatively short period of time, and of course J.J. was a good pickup. But those two guys were good pickups, and that was 2011. When you go back now, I mean, they just can't find a good for every time they pick up a safety. They used to pick some guys up off the street who ended up stepping in and playing okay at safety, but Colvin was a disaster. Who are the draft picks that are developing at safety? Like, who are they developing at cornerback? Or safety. Who are they developing? Right now you say, okay, well, Justin Reed. Right, who else? Who else? Who else have you picked up or who else have you used to develop? You have 1 year Tyrann Mathieu. That doesn't count. That's just a Band-Aid pickup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't count that. That's 1 year. It does nothing for you. And frankly, you should have spent the money on Tyrann Mathieu and kept Tyrann Mathieu. I did an exercise with a friend, John. This is pretty disappointing. He said, you know what, I went back and did a butterfly effect with how the team changes if they keep Tyrann Mathieu and Dwayne Brown. And Dwayne Brown is kind of tough to say because I think Dwayne wanted to get to the West Coast. I know his wife really wanted to get there. So that's a little tough to just say keep Dwayne Brown if he didn't want to be here. But if you had paid him his money, you would have kept him at least for a few years. You would have avoided the Julian Davenport at left tackle. You would have avoided giving Laramie Tunsil that deal. You would have avoided with Tyrann Mathieu giving Eric Murray that money. You would, like, if you start doing a butterfly effect of just a couple of picks, and especially the Dwayne Brown, you can work it from the Dwayne Brown. You start giving yourself those first round picks and giving yourself players from those drafts that you didn't have the picks. And all of a sudden it looks way different for the Texans. If they had given Dwayne Brown that money and kept him here, a lot of things would be different. Mm-hmm. A lot of things probably would be different right now.
Well, absolutely. 714 ESPN. Wow, that is something.
I mean,
they didn't want to give him that money, and then all of a sudden, it turned Bob McNair into a racist.
It turned him into a racist.
Yeah, and the butterfly effect was not only that. No statue for Bob. No statue for Bob outside the stadium.
He said, I mean, I don't think Dwayne Brown probably would have said. He might have said something at some point. But maybe even this year. But he came out. That was a big leverage, a big leverage move so he could push himself out because he really wanted out because they weren't giving him additional money. But had they given him additional money, and he kept playing, he still played pretty well up to this point, longer than I thought.
Yep.
If you had kept Dwayne Brown and you keep those draft picks and you don't have Julian Davenport, and you don't the butterfly effect that you could go into. He went into it, and he went into it, and started telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, holy crap! That one move completely alters how you look at the Houston Texans. I mean, it really can be that simple. When we come back in a second, John, I want to get into, there's obviously rumors swirling around the team about trade deadline, because Randall Cobb's answer at press conference had people talking, and then the fact that there was a post on Instagram that talked about the Texans wide receivers potentially being it was some website, some Instagram, you know, Pro Football Chase or something like that. I don't even know what it is, but it had Texans possible, you know, wide receivers possibly up on the trade deadline, and they had Fuller, Cooks, Stills, and Randall Cobb. And three of the wide receivers, I think it was Fuller, Cobb, and Brooks, all liked the tweet. I mean, all liked the Instagram post.
Wow.
And so it had Texas fans going, oh, did you guys see this?
Wow. Well, Deshaun had an answer about it, too, that was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So we got Nick is pulling that right now, as a matter of fact. Why don't you talk about your grill?
Let me tell you about Texas Star Grill Shop. What an unbelievable company. When I tell you one-stop grill shop, it really is. I mean, they've got three locations. A fourth is going to be popping up soon, but they've got everything. I mean, everything. If you say, oh, man, I need to go get some charcoal, why don't you stop in there while you're there, get a rub for your, for your pork butt when you're making pulled pork. They've got different rubs. They've got the hardcore carnivore, which is awesome. If you want to get a really great brisket bark, the hardcore carnivore helps you get there. They know what all the different marinades and rubs are and seasonings. They can help you find the perfect one for what you're looking for. But, of course, I'm here to tell you about the grills. I'm here to tell you about the great Pits and Spits and Traeger, Green Mountain, Kamado Joe, Big Green Egg. I don't care if it's a gas grill, a ceramic cooker, or a wood pellet grill. They have what you need. They also have outdoor kitchen accessories. They have pizza ovens. There's nothing that they don't have, including meat to grill. Some of the best Wagyu you're going to find. So make sure that you go to TexasStarGrillShop.com. Go in, take advantage of the great fall sale going on through the end of the month, and get your delivery and your assembly absolutely free. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, well, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 724, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So very interesting. A 1-5 team, Lance, is a seller, not a buyer, come trade deadline. And the rumor mill is that the Texans are going to be sellers. It would make sense, what with no first or second round pick, if they could get something for somebody. They need picks. They need to bolster a roster that's aging, that doesn't have any players outplaying their contracts. What's the latest happened yesterday?
Well, you paint a really good picture of people who would want to buy those players.
Yeah. Well, no, they got some players that could help people. There's no
nobody who's outplaying their contract, which is true. Nobody's outplaying their contracts. Texans looking to sell. Like, I ain't looking to buy. I can tell you that. Whatever you're selling, I'm not buying. By the way, shout out to pour some out for Chris Solis' dad. That was one of his favorite. Chris used to tell me whenever people would come to this door and knock on his door when they were young to sell stuff, he'd open the door and really friendly just say, whatever you're selling, I'm not buying. Just close the door. That's kind of how I feel like except for the fact that whatever the Texans are selling, people might buy just because they know the price tag's so ridiculous. And maybe the Texans will throw in a draft pick. You know, you just never know if the Texans will give you one of their picks for something. I would say, so the rumor has been, you know, yesterday something came out on some, you know, there was some Instagram post about the top four wide receivers could be on the move, and would the Texans be sellers? And I guess other things are swirling around the team because Randall Cobb was asked about the possibility of moving or something to that effect, and he gave an answer. You'll hear it here in a second. He gave an answer, and at the end, he talks about how they ended up meeting after practice. He said, "So we'll see what happens." So clearly, something has been going on behind the scenes. Either they've heard that they could be traded, or there's that rumor out there, or maybe they want to be traded. Who knows? So we'll hear from him first, and then Deshaun Watson. People thought Deshaun Watson went into full GM mode after that, and they were like, I guess Deshaun runs the team. So here first is Randall Cobb and what he had to say after practice yesterday.
Hello? Oh, he threw to that.
We may have had that one pulled up, but we'll get
Randall Cobb. Do you have it yet, Nick?
You know, we may
not have
it.
Oh, he's on the phone. Okay, here's what he said. Yeah. Like I said, you never know. I've seen crazier things happen in this business since I've been in it. You really just got to brace yourself and wait and see what happens. I bought a house here, so I planned on being here for the long haul. We'll see how it all plays out. You take it day by day. I think there was a conversation after practice that took place. We'll see. I don't know what to think or what to believe. You just sit back and take it day by day and come to work and try to do your job every day. So that was his answer. Now, Deshaun asked about it. And Deshaun was the trade. How do you handle the trade speculation surrounding some of the offensive players? Them boys ain't getting traded. That was something that we squashed at the end of practice. It wasn't too big of a deal. I know a lot of people are probably thinking that Randall was saying he was getting traded. He's not going anywhere. Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to stick with this team and keep pushing forward. All that stuff is just kind of something that we wanted to squash because there was a lot of noise and people, of course, see it on social media. We just basically squashed it and letting everyone know to focus on ball and focus on this team. So apparently two things I get out of that, Lance. One is that Deshaun is in on personnel decisions, that he's in on big major decisions, that he's taken a leadership role, that he's going to management, he's going to Jack Easterby and finding out who's going to be on the team and who's not going to be on the team. And two is that Randall Cobb really isn't interested in post-practice meetings because he was like, I don't know, somebody said something about it after practice. I don't know. That's all. And
he said, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. He said... He said, what are the possibility of where is it again? The trade being traded. Things happier. So I plan on being here. We'll see how it all plays out. There was a conversation after practice that took place. I think there was a conversation after practice that took place. We'll see. And Deshaun was like, no, we had a meeting after practice. Nobody's going anywhere.
Randall Cobb probably saw some Instagram post. I told you that apparently three of the wide receivers liked that post, but you know, there's probably whatever. They probably heard whatever rumors on social media, whatever the case may be. And Deshaun, actually, you know, the more I think about it, that's kind of a leadership move by Deshaun to say, no, we're not trading him, we're not doing this. You know, Deshaun probably did find out something. And they said, no, these guys aren't going anywhere. It's just a bunch of noise. And Deshaun goes and is very strong. You know, think of another 30-something million-dollar quarterback. The leaders who are the big-dollar guys, they're not going to say things like, well, we don't, you know, I don't know. This is a business. I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, Deshaun, if he knows those guys aren't on the move, because, by the way, no one's taking on. You're not going to get anything for those guys that you might get something for, like, Will Fuller. But I'm okay with Deshaun going out there and taking a leadership role and trying to cool things down and get guys all on the same page. I'm actually okay with that. I don't have a problem with Deshaun making that statement.
No, it's what Deshaun should be doing. They're 1-5, and dude needs to take this, and they don't have a coach, and they don't have a general manager, and somebody needs to step up and say, you know what, this is what's going on with this organization, and this is the direction that we're going. Otherwise, who's going to do that? Jack Easterby doesn't do any interviews. Who's gonna squash any trade rumors? There's nobody. Romeo doesn't know. They're not telling Romeo anything about the strategy. He's here. He's an interim guy. He's 73 years old. He ain't in on player development meetings. I mean,
Romeo doesn't even realize that there were six games in and they should be tackling by now.
No, he doesn't get, he doesn't understand that everybody has the same, it's the same deal.
Wait, y'all are out too? Yeah, Romeo, it's a pandemic. Right. Nobody was in.
Oh, gosh. It's 731 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Working on these technical difficulties. We'll get through them, peeps.
Yeah.
And we got Dana coming up in a half hour right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle, it's so easy. It takes honestly, it really, really can't be easier. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, and in like less than 5 minutes, you are going to have you're going to have a quote for your car and how much you can get for it. And then they got to, obviously, you send them the picture. You got to tell them what kind of shape it's in, all this stuff that's got to happen. It's easy, though. It can't be simpler. And then there's Zane here. We got a couple of guys here in the city of Houston. They pick up your car. They give you the check. And it's so, so simple. You want to sell that car and you want to get the most for it, all you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you see, before we go on it with more of this, did you see the Borat versus Rudy Giuliani thing?
No, I heard about it yesterday from Chris, but... I haven't seen it yet. I thought he got Rudy Giuliani with Borat years ago.
Giuliani said I was able to avoid him the last time, and I felt good about it. And then here he is, apparently. So he was taking off some kind of electronic equipment, and he was on a bed. He was doing an interview on a bed for some reason. And he's taking off this, like, so he untucks his shirt and he's got to dig in his pants. And as he's doing that, there's a Borat runs in. No, stop. She's only 15. She's too old for you.
No way.
And so now he's like, at no point was I inappropriate if he says he's a stone cold liar. but I guess afterwards they were drinking, he wasn't socially distancing, and he was having a good time with him, I guess. I don't know. But but even before he reaches into his trousers, Giuliani does not appear to have quit himself, especially impressively during the encounter. Flattered and flirtatious, he drinks scotch, coughs, fails to socially distance, and claims Trump's speedy actions in the spring saved a million Americans from dying of COVID. Well, that's where this author has an issue. That Giuliani thinks that Trump did something good. So that I think that might be. This is The Guardian, so there's a good chance that that's where Giuliani, if he said, you know, Trump sucked, then this guy would be like, Borat, you suck. Borat,
this is
terrible. Yeah.
I just care about, is it funny?
That's all.
Borat, I got it, Guardian. I just want to know if it's funny. I just want to know if the Borat's funny, because Ollie G, his other character, Ollie G, is the one who got Trump years ago.
Yep.
He was trying to sell him on a hoverboard. And that one's pretty funny, too. I can't believe he is able to bring Borat back. That's going to be on Prime. The new Borat movie is going to be on Prime. Yeah.
Yeah, there's movies coming out now. There's one coming out. Another one looks pretty good that's coming out. I guess they've somehow, some way been able to finish shooting and editing all the stuff. And you said how Eric is doing it.
Yeah,
they're socially distancing, quarantining, and doing everything necessary.
Yeah, they get COVID tests every other day. So there's been stuff. He filmed Bosch. He's the reporter from the LA Times, Scott mm-hmm. Anderson. So he shot some Bosch scenes. He's in Hawaii right now shooting Magnum PI. He had to quarantine first before he could do anything. And then They get tests every other day. He said, I can totally see this working. He goes, I can see how it works. Like, this is, you know, I feel like we have a path forward for entertainment. I feel like we have a path forward for sports. The fact that colleges will just postpone a game and then, you know, wait to make it up down the road. The NFL has been moving it to Mondays or Tuesdays. You remember when it first happened with baseball? It's like, there was a question, is this it? Is it, they're going to shut down all sports? But once they work through it, then now we have a new norm where you can work through that. You can't work through bad tackling, but you can work through COVID, you know, some of the issues with COVID. You're not going to work through a bad tackling, poor run fit defense that gives up, you know, a record number of yards in the second half. That's not going to magically go away when it gets hot outside or if you put bleach on it. Nothing's going to – I don't care what lights you put on it. I don't care how hot it is outside. Not being able to tackle and not being able to stop the run is not going away anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you can social they are social distancing. They're not wearing masks. Somebody has got to get the Texans to stop socially distancing on tackles, on run plays.
They definitely are doing that. So as soon as Nick, I know Nick, you've been swamped and it's been difficult, but Romeo Crennel talking about the run defense, this one is kind of, I mean, I can see where he's a little pissy with the media. It's the fourth answer in, Nick, when you get a chance, if you can grab that.
What's he pissy about?
Not pissy, but it's like, okay. You know, we can load up the box, okay? we got to hear him. We got to hear him talk about it. But he's right. He's absolutely right. It's actually excuse me. It's actually pretty funny because there's really – listen, this Packer game, I mean, the way that Aaron Jones is running the ball, the way that Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball – This doesn't seem to be the optimal matchup for your Houston Texans this week. I know they're home. I know the Packers didn't look good last week. But guess what? You don't have Tampa's defense. The Texans are not Tampa's defense. And everybody else, Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones have been dynamite. Have been spectacular against. I'm looking at this and. Man, to think that before this season started, after the DeAndre Hopkins, with all of the Bill O'Brien crap swirling and everything else, that this team would be 1-6 heading into the bye. And guess what? That's clearly the favorite here. I don't looking at this matchup, Lance, I don't know how they win this football game.
Well, I thought 2-5 was a real possibility, but because I was kind of expecting them to beat the Jaguars and the Vikings. But the other ones, you know, they've been underdogs in those games. And they've lost those games. This one, I can see them beating. The Packers looked really terrible over the second half of that game. Now it was a great pass rush. And Todd Bowles is a fantastic defensive coordinator. He got guys in position to harass that offensive line. The big corners like Jamel Dean and Davis out of Auburn, they did a really good job. What they have, the Texans don't have. The Texans don't have a great pass rush. Their defense coordinator is not known for dialing up exotic blitzes and stressing the defense, and the corners are not very good. So, I see what you're saying. I don't think you can just look at what happened against Tampa and think that's the norm, because Tampa can do to you what you can't do to the Green Bay Packers. They can do to the Packers what you can't. Now, the question is going to be offensively, can Deshaun be, you know, more explosive offensively than Tom Brady? Brady didn't throw for a ton of yards, but he threw for the touchdowns. They're going to have to get the running game going. I watched the coach's tape, John. David Johnson is so slow. Honestly, this is not hyperbole. Right now, I'd rather see Buddy Howell getting carries. There's no reason. You've seen enough out of David Johnson. You have to pay him anyway. He is really hurting your chances to get first downs because he is so slow. He can't get around the corner. He can't get through the first line of defense with a big burst. Duke Johnson's quicker. Give Duke the carries. Let Buddy Howell, give somebody like that, bring Caron Higdon back. what is David Johnson going to do for you? You should look at maybe something that can potentially become developmental for you, because you're not missing out other than David Johnson's ability to catch passes. And then have you seen him as some monster pass catcher this year? I have.
No, they're not even using him in the passing game. Why are they? They're not using him.
Bill O'Brien doesn't need to make a point anymore. He's not here. He's not here. There is no point to be made. Play the best guys, the guys who give you the chance to have the most explosive plays.
Well, Buddy Howell's been hurt. Yeah, Buddy Howell's been hurt. But Duke Johnson has been. I mean, when he does, he hasn't done anything either when he gets in there. So I mean, listen. You made this gigantic mistake, and now you got to live with it. They're going to play the dude. I love what Buffalo did. They gave one of their guards Spain. They gave him $15 million, and they cut him. They just said, you know what, you're not good enough, and we got to cut you. You know what, the Texans might be better off doing instead of giving David. He's got one good game out of six. One good game. And you're gonna continue to run him outside. You're gonna pitch him the ball near the goal line. Are you kidding me? He can't even catch the ball. I mean, it's ridiculous. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Romeo Crennel on the run defense. But first, let's talk about mybookie.ag promo code radio. I like the Packers. I know that they didn't look all that good. I know that the Packers didn't look great last week. But again, you don't have Todd Bowles and you don't have the Tampa defense. I'm going Packers this week. I just think that they're a better football team, and the only way to bet it is on mybookie.ag promo code radio. That's where you can play, win, and get paid. That's what happens every single day. If you're looking for a great way, in-game betting, casino betting, blackjack, whatever it is that you're looking to play, you've got it at mybookie.ag promo code radio. All the bets on every sport and more. Not only that, election, movies, whatever it is, it's unbelievable what you could bet on. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
This is ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We've been talking about Romeo. Let's hear it, Nick. Nick has Romeo Crennel talking about stopping the run.
Well, we can kind of load up the box, okay? And then when you load up the box, then Aaron likes that because then he knows he's got one-on-one coverage down the field, you know? So that's one of your pick your poisons. And so what we have to do is we have to mix it up, not show him the same thing all the time, show him some different looks. And then when we show the different look, hopefully that they don't have a play called that matches that look, you know? And then if that's the case, then we have to rally and hustle to the football and try to get the guy on the ground before he gets in the end zone.
Before he gets to the end zone.
That's a bit, I don't know if there was a shot or it was a, I love that one. You know, somehow we got to rally to the ball and hopefully we can tackle him before he gets in the end zone. That'd be great. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd
be nice if we could tackle him before he gets in the end zone. Okay. All right, Rack. That's a good strategy. Let's tackle him before he gets in the end zone, which you didn't do last week.
No.
In all fairness, Rack is dead on because you just didn't do any of that last week. Okay?
Yeah.
Tackle him before he gets in the end zone. So I like this week's strategy. We're going to tackle him before he gets in the end zone.
I'd like to see them play that more. I think that's a philosophy they need to start teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually did. Remember when, one guy got tackled before he got in the end zone. I think they tackled somebody before they got in the end zone last week. I'm trying to think if that actually happened. But on the 94, they didn't. Well, they couldn't even get a hand on a 250-pound running back. So that was problematic.
Yeah. I am looking at right now away explosive rate versus home explosive rate, the Green Bay and Houston game. Passing, Green Bay has an 18% explosive rate and a 14% explosive run rate. The Texans, meanwhile, have an 8% explosive, 18% explosive pass rate and a 7% explosive run rate, which is bad, which is not good. Green Bay has the highest explosion rate on the road versus this defense of any team this week. And I could certainly see that. It is an explosive team. It's a team that Aaron Rodgers can beat you up top. Even without Devontae Adams, he was doing a really nice job. I mean, he lost his wide receiver, but he's got Scantling. He can still throw it up top to Scantling. I just think, and with Aaron Jones' explosiveness as well, this doesn't bode well for the Houston Texans this week.
It may not. I feel like the Texans can make some things happen offensively, though. They have scored over 30 in two straight games, and I actually think the Texans can score with the Green Bay Packers. It's just the problem is, I think it really is just going to come over to turnover. I think turnover battle is going to decide who wins this. To me, though, I don't see this as an inevitable loss against the Packers. I really don't. I guess I feel a little bit better about it than you do. I don't see the Green Bay Packers with a rugged run offense. They have Aaron Jones who can hit big plays. And I will say, when you don't hit your run fits, Aaron Jones hits big plays. Mm-hmm. And that's the concern, is that he gets through the first level very fast. And when that happens, it's a problem. So we'll see if the Texans can fit it up better. And if they can, I don't think they're a team that's just going to batter the Texans. The Kansas City battered them. The Ravens battered them. The Steelers battered them. But that's not really Green Bay. Like, Aaron Jones isn't that kind of runner.
No, but again, one cut guy that's explosive, not a good combination. That's not a good combination for the Texans. It's just not.
There's not a whole lot of good combinations for the Texans defense.
Not stopping a run. Not this year. Nope. Looking at other teams, how about the Rams? I've got, their pass at a 20% explosion rate passing and 9% running. They're playing the Bears. The Bears have zero explosion. No explosion offensively.
Sounds about right. By the way, where are these stats coming from?
These stats are coming from Ian Hartz. Ian Hartz
from where?
Is with, I don't know who Ian Hartz is with. Anyway,
is he just some kid in Ireland?
No, I don't know if he's in Ireland. But here's the deal: is how is Chicago winning football games?
Defense, turnovers. It's not. You know what? It's definitely not quarterback play.
No, it's no offensive play. I mean, it's unbelievable the games that they're winning. Every game, it seems to be an under. Every game is 19-14. Every game is 17-12, whatever the case may be, something in there. And they're just lucking. I mean, but you know what? They're finding a way to win. My brother is in Chicago. He texted me after the game. He said, "Is this the worst 5-1 team ever?" And I was,
God, they're 5-1 right now?
Yeah. That's a 5-1 football team.
Holy cats.
Yeah. I mean, that is just – it's just ridiculous. I mean, they beat Tampa. They went. They beat Carolina. I thought for sure Carolina would take care of that business. And they just can't for whatever reason. They're going to the Rams this week. I just don't see it. I've been wrong about the Bears every week, and I just don't see it. And I'm going to continue to go against them. While I'll continue – Dallas is at Washington. It's the – resistible force versus the whatever, because it's two of the crappiest teams in football, but something's got to give. Dallas has yet to cover this season.
Yeah.
Yet to cover this season.
Wait, they haven't even covered the point spread once?
Once. Not once.
I wonder how many times that's happened.
Through 6 weeks? I would imagine it's happened before. I would imagine it's been that's. But is that terrible?
I'm trying to see if I can.
I mean, you want to talk about less than expectations, and we didn't talk about it. Me and Dell talked about it, but the team anonymously saying how the coaching staff can't coach.
Players, that's so bad. Multiple players said already. Multiple things. That they weren't prepared.
Yep.
They couldn't make adjustments on the fly. They were over their head. I'm like, wow, that is really, really bad.
That's aggressive.
Let's see. I'm trying to look. There's been 9-game losing streak. I'm trying to find the longest losing streak to start a season. And
why don't you see
the Cleveland – I mean, Iowa Hawkeyes lost 14 in a row in 2002 in college.
Against the spread?
College basketball.
Oh.
The Cavs lost 13 in a row against the spread in 2001. I can't find one for the NFL right now.
Well, why don't you find Blackland Distillery, and then we'll talk to Dana Holgerson on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do that. Blackland Distillery, I know where to find that. That's out in Fort Worth, Texas. And they're spread all over the state, as a matter of fact. And when you go to Blackland Distillery, they won Culture Map Award for the top bar in the Fort Worth area. They have a grain-to-glass distillery that is where the spirits are made and designed by a guy who has a culinary background, who has a wine background, who's a lawyer by trade, and who has a distilling background. Here's what happens is he understands all the flavors that will work together and what the ingredients should look like. And so what the result is an unusually unique and smooth spirit that is taking the state by storm and will be the next big spirit outside of this state to move on. I promise you that. If you haven't tried Blackland Distillery's rye, bourbon, vodka, or gin, you're really missing out. Make sure you stop in at your local liquor store or a restaurant, and if they're not carrying Blackland, then just say, hey, I really want you to carry Blackland Distillery. They're from right here in Texas, so make sure that you carry Texas in a Texas liquor store and experience the unique flavors of Blackland Distillery.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!